Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic, intern Hanley here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Jim Diamond, who covers the Predators for the Associated Press. Jim, what's going on, brother? How are we doing?
Robert, I'm doing great. How about yourself?
We're great. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. So, Jim, let's just start on the Philip Forsberg part of this. We're about 2 weeks away now from free agency beginning in the NHL. Still no deal for Forsberg and the Predators. What's your concern level at this point if you're a Predators fan, and how do you see this playing out between David Poile and his team and Forsberg and his representatives?
Yeah, I would not be optimistic if I'm a Predators fan, and I'm not. Not that I've ever been accused of being one, but I just don't understand the you know, from all the reports circulating and everything, why this hasn't been done. If he's willing to come back and is not asking for an exorbitant amount of money, I just can't fathom why this deal wouldn't be done, whether it's a no trade clause or something else. It's just strange to me that, you know, usually in situations like this, you know, flashing way back to like the Suter time, you could tell the player didn't want to come back, but by all accounts, Forsberg is willing and wants to. So there's just something missing that that I can't put together, and seemingly nobody else can either.
So you're not optimistic. So you don't think Poile is just going to ultimately buckle in the end? Because that's kind of how I think it's going to go, without knowing, obviously.
I mean, he's been down this road before. What's the necessity, or what's the you know, motivation for him to hold out this long before buckling? I mean, it doesn't sound like money would be that far off, unless they're really trying to lowball Forsberg, which I think would be just general manager malpractice. So, you know, they've had, you know, way more time than needed to get something done. If both sides are in agreement that they want to come back and are reasonably close on money, I mean, the structure can take some time, but that shouldn't be a stumbling block. So I think he's not going to be back.
Jim, Forsberg aside, you know, as you start to identify needs for this team, obviously it's crucial to get him back. And if you don't, I mean, you're in just a way different spot as a team. But let's just say, for sake of argument, he does come back. How would you identify what the checklist is for David Poile and the Predators as they view and try to upgrade this team in the offseason? Be that top four on defense, backup goalie, top six forward. Like, how would you rank kind of the needs that they have heading into the offseason?
Sure. I mean, I think everybody saw that beyond their first line and in whichever, you know, of the top four forwards didn't fall into the first line, they just didn't have the horses on the second line. So they do need secondary scoring from their second line. I think their third line is decent. I know they like to, you know, call that their team's identity and everything, but if you're priding yourself on, you know, your team's identity being a third line, you're not scoring any goal. So they definitely need support from either within. The cupboard looks kind of bare as far as prospects and everything are concerned, as best I can tell. So they have money to spend. I know Forsberg's going to eat up a significant amount of money, but I guess I should have looked. I think they have, $25 million to spend?
It's close to it, yeah.
Yeah, they need scoring. They do need a backup goaltender. If Connor Ingram can do that job, he's cheap. You know, that's great. And then defense, I'm puzzled by the Jeremy Luzon signing. I mean, he's okay, but I don't know if I go 4 years of $2 million per for him. I mean, they did that, so it's done. But I just think as Josi and Ekholm, you know, move from their early 30s toward their mid-30s, they're going to need people to take minutes off of them. So kind of the revolving door they've had in their third D pairing the last several years, I don't think that's great for long-term stability or ideal usage of guys like Josi and Ekholm. So, you know, Fabro and Carrier, real good, but you know, they do need some more help on the back end as well. So I'd say second line, and then another decent defenseman or two would be at the top of my list with that kind of money.
Jim, I'm eager for your analysis, preferably in haiku form, but it's not necessary. But just your analysis of the ownership situation, Bill Haslam gradually becoming majority owner. What is the significance of this, you think, short term and long term? And what did you think of that when you first heard it?
I was surprised, because usually when a team is on the market, if you will, there's rumblings. But from all reports from the press conference that I was not invited to last week, it sounded like somebody just called him and said, "Hey, are you interested in owning the Predators?" And he said yes. So I think it's great to have a local owner. I mean, having been here through the they're going to move to Hamilton years, selfishly I enjoy covering hockey, and I'm glad that that there won't be any sort of ownership or relocation or any kind of issues like that. But as much as Haslam is a different person than his brother, I think there's still going to be rumblings over how his brother has handled his sports team ownership. So hopefully there's nothing along those lines that he can hear. But I think it's good that there's maybe somebody a little bit more public-facing as an owner, because we just haven't, had conversations with this ownership group. They really haven't been made available to talk or comment on things. So I would hope somebody like Haslam, who is kind of used to being in the public eye with microphones and recorders and reporters in front of them, will be a little more available to us to kind of speak to the organization as he generally acquires majority ownership.
Jim Diamond from the Associated Press on with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So Jim, a lot of talk last week after the Norris Trophy voting came out about the PHWA and the voting process and everything that goes into that. David Poile talked about it last week, how he's not a big fan of the way the vote turned out, obviously, with Roman Josi not winning the Norris Trophy. I'm just curious from you, that from somebody that's voted on awards for a long time, what do you make of the process, and what did you make of one person leaving Roman Josi entirely off the Norris Trophy ballot?
Yeah, I mean, I respect the process. I guess as somebody who's inside that, maybe I'm not the best judge of that. But when there's it's supposed to be 200 people, but ended up being 195 ballots, you should get a fairly representative result as the case. I don't think anybody is going to say, Roman Josi is better than Cale Makar, Roman Josi is worse than Cale Makar, or should have won the trophy, or it was close. I mean, I went back and forth for a while before I submitted my ballot. I had Josi on top, but Cale Makar may be the best player in the National Hockey League at any position right now. So the playoffs for sure illustrated that to people, but and we saw it firsthand in the series here, as brief as it was. So I'm not sure what, how they would like the process to be altered. Somebody not thinking Roman Josi was one of the best, the top five defensemen in the NHL this year is just malpractice. There's no justification anyone can give me or show me to say that he wasn't one or two. I mean, I'll listen to Victor Hedman or Charlie McAvoy's maybe, being in the top, top two, but leaving somebody off of the ballot is just inexcusable as far as I'm concerned.
Real fast, Jim, since I think we may have started a media war today, which is very exciting.
Oh, I didn't hear about that.
No, yeah, it's great. So Alex Doherty is tweeting at Paul Kaharsky now because we had Kaharsky on, basically saying, everyone in the Preds press box is a homer, which I immediately jumped to the defense of Skrbina. But actually, if you go down that entire press row, I'm trying to find a homer. Do you think that Preds media has a homerism problem?
Are you talking about voting media?
No, I'm not just
to this. I mean,
this is in reference to the Avs media
parading around with the Stanley Cup.
Right.
Yeah, that's inexcusable too, if you ask me. I don't think there is a homerism problem. I think there, you know, the Predators have been very open to, you know, bloggers and, you know, for years, even before other teams did that. So I think a lot of the blogger sphere comes from the fan base. So I think there may be maybe some, you know, truth to that to a degree, but I don't sit there and think that anybody isn't fair in balancing their coverage. I mean, I don't read them all, but you don't see people blowing smoke in you know, up players, you know, what's in, or coaches in press conferences or anything. So, you know, I don't see it. I've gotten yelled at plenty of times to show that I'm not one, but as far as those of us who vote on the awards, definitely not. But I also wouldn't be parading. I wouldn't also be parading around with the Stanley Cup over my head and a cigar in my mouth if they won the cup. I mean, there's no danger of this happening anytime soon. So, you know, I'm not super concerned about it.
Jim Diamond, beautiful. Beautiful stuff. Jim Diamond from the Associated Press, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Show. Jimmy, great stuff as always. Appreciate you taking time to be with us.
All right. Always a pleasure. Love you, boys.
All righty. We'll take your thoughts. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. More on the Preds coming up next. You can listen for the Casino Sounder today through Friday. And when you hear it, text Bally to 615-737-1025. And be qualified to play the grand prize roulette wheel. All qualifiers will receive a number on the wheel, and the winner will be revealed during the noon hour with the DDC. The winner will then have 10 minutes and 25 seconds to call in to win the grand prize, a summertime casino getaway to Bally's in Evansville. Must be 21 or older to enter. Official rules and more information at thegamenashville.com/Bally. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. IndyCar is back. Single-day tickets for the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix August 5th through the 7th are on sale now at 10 a.m. today. So just a few minutes from now, they'll be on sale. You can enjoy racing, live music, and one big party. Visit MusicCityGP.com for more information. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Joe, there is a Twitter war currently taking place between Preds media and Paul Kaharsky after his comments earlier on the show about Preds homerism in the media.
Yay, us. All right, let's get this going. I look at Alex's tweet to Paul, and he's very angry. And I think he said Paul is spreading inflammatory BS. Let me read the tweet. This is Alex Doherty's.
Let's be careful reading the tweet, but yes.
Yes. Here's at Paul Kersey NFL, a man who hasn't stepped foot in the Preds press box and knows jack about hockey, spreading inflammatory BS, although it's spelled out, about Nashville media again via at Joe Rexford and at Robbie Stanley. And now, you know, so first of all, I replied, I screwed up when Paul said that because I should have, one, probably been more outraged by his stupid comment, but also like I produce like Scribina, you know, like
I should have probably said something too, but in my mind, when I think about what he was talking about there, I was thinking day to day on the road, going everywhere, covering the team. And that just the last couple of years that's dwindled down.
Well, I mean, I would say cause it's got, we've gotten to the point now, certainly Adam, you know, Vingan did not travel for a lot of trips, and I don't think Scribino went to all of them. We've gotten away from really beat writers going on all the trips. So in a lot of cases, you'd have the person, you know, you'd have Brooks who works for the, you know, so look, if you work for the team, then yes, I would agree with you. You're probably a homer. Like, you know, if you work for the team, I'd say that's different. But Garski said that, and I said, come on, Skrbina. But let me just go down press row like this year on a night that you and I went, okay?
Okay.
Let's see. From right to left, you got Vingan, you got me, you got Gentry Estes and Paul Skrbina, both from the Tennessean. You got John Glennon, you got Teresa Walker and Jim Diamond from the AP. You got you. Got Alex Doherty from A to Z Sports. You can go Sean C. Smith, who works with him. You know, sometimes you'd have Justin Bradford as well. Who am I forgetting? I don't want to forget anybody.
It just depends on the night.
But Abigail, yeah. Martin works with him.
Yeah.
I mean, look, you go down that, like, it's, come on, man. I mean, think about how, when you go through the press row, like, think about how dumb Kaharski's comment was. It's just objectively idiotic. It really is. And so I screwed up by not just doing what I just did right there as soon as he said it. It's ridiculous.
I did not expect him to go down that road. I thought we were about to get some like big lesson in today's state of the media. And he just went right to like Preds Media. So I didn't expect him to do that.
And again, like,
but it started a war on Twitter. That's good.
Yeah. So Paul now is asking the question, are you a fan of the team, Alex? So Jim says, did Paul ever do social media for the Golden Knights?
Oh God.
So it's just like Paul's better than that. I mean, really, like Paul is better than making a comment, a blanket comment like that when press row is actually loaded with people who are not remotely fans or homers of the team. So anyway, I guess now we can let this continue on Twitter. It should be good. Get your popcorn.
Do you think homerism is a big problem in 2022's state of sports media?
Well, I think that, yeah, I think it's there. But I think there's still plenty of options for people, you know, who want to follow a team. And I think any significant college and pro team, you can find objective people, or, you know, no one's truly objective, right? Let's all agree with that. Like, listen, let me be honest. I've said this before. I mean, I grow to like or dislike people sometimes. And so that, you know, I mean, like you're never totally objective, but people who are going to do a professional job covering your team for you and aren't going to be like too emotional about it, which I think is important. But some people like emotional. Listen, college teams. You can find people.
Oh, yeah.
You can find people who are big time homers, and you can find people who are basically like helping coaches recruit for your team. Okay. And sometimes those people have some of the best information available. I mean, there are scoops to be had if you are basically on the team talking to recruits, helping. I mean, this is a thing with college football. Like, there's no doubt about it. Big college football programs, I could go into any press corps and pick out two or three people like, okay, so basically on the payroll of the team, and those people get information. So, and some fans want that plus the constant positive spin about everything. And that's fine if that's what you want. But those teams also have plenty of people who don't do it that way. Most people don't do it that way. So it's a problem, but it hasn't overtaken it and never will.
I don't think so either. I mean, it is a problem. Look, I have seen people come in here from Colorado, Detroit. I mean, you can go up and down the list of people I've seen at Bridgestone Arena that when like something happens, like I've seen some cheering in the press box. You know, we had this big thing with the Vegas Golden Knights in here one time, and their social media guy talked about like Preds media members clapping in the press box, when in all actuality, because of the way the Preds press box is set up, it was like fans down low at the desk and some Preds employees that were clapping when they scored a goal. So it was a little bit different, but like there's a certain level of homerism that you could find probably in any press corps if you look deep enough, but by and large, like it's fine here.
Yeah. And this does bring a Tennessean column to mind. Okay. I wrote on August 11th, 2016. Okay.
Okay.
So if we think we have a problem, I'm going to read this to you. Okay. This is my column from Rio. Quote, I don't want to generalize about any group of people, including sports writers from China, but my God, what a bunch of homers. Hey, guys sitting next to me on press row in the Olympic Aquatic Center, do you really have to stand, clutch one another, do a little hop together, and blurt out cheers of encouragement when a Chinese swimmer nears the finish of a close race? A preliminary race? It's in all caps. 4 years ago in London, a group of Chinese journalists huddled around a TV at the swimming venue and screamed it as the race concluded. At least one cried tears of joy. Why were they watching on TV, you ask? Because the TV was in the mix zone, which is where media get athletes after competitions and on and on and on. Anyway, bottom line, the whole point of this was that journalists from other countries covering the Olympics and many other countries. This was in particular about, some journalists from China watching swimming. But as I went on, like, people are hugging the athletes in the mix zone and crying and like, they won! I mean, like, so in this country, we are more objective, I would argue, than any other country covering sports. So yay, America.
Hello, America.
That's right. America as the 4th of July approaches.
That's correct. We'll continue to take your thoughts. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. We'll get into the Forsberg situation coming up next. I thought some pretty strong comments from Jim Diamond earlier in the hour about his thoughts on Forsberg as well. We'll get to that on the other side. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Tune in for Nashville Sounds Baseball tonight at 7:05 on 94.9 The Fan as the Sounds face the Indianapolis Indians, the AAA affiliate of the Pittsburgh Pirates at First Horizon Park. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by 312 Pizza and Farm Bureau Health Plans. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. 1025. Joe, we had Jim Diamond on the show to begin the 9 o'clock hour, and he seemed rather pessimistic about the Predators' chances to sign Philip Forsberg and basically said, you know, if it hadn't been done yet, he has very great skepticism as to whether or not it'll be done in the next 2 weeks. What did you think of Jim Diamond's take on Philip Forsberg and his contract situation? And as you factor in everything together over the last couple of days in terms of, you know, the Frank Saravalli report from Daily Faceoff about apparently Forsberg's side of things asking for in the low eights in terms of the annual average value. Jared Stillman talked about yesterday on Stillman and Company how he heard that report wasn't true. What do you make of this entire Forsberg saga over the last couple of days as we get closer and closer to free agency with just over 2 weeks remaining? I think 2 weeks from tomorrow, the official date.
Yeah, lost in the Homer media fight, which, by the way, Paul Karhusky has largely walked back his comments on Twitter. That's a big deal for Paul. Very, very proud of you, Paul. Is that the
fact that was a big day for Paul?
Yeah, I think we've got Paul a little self-reflection today on the show, along with just light a match and let it all burn and we'll all stand here and enjoy it. But lost in that was what I thought was a pretty surprising take from Jim on Forsberg. And I have high respect for Jim Diamond. If we're going to continue to further break down like the press corps in different ways, I think of like you, Jim, Ving, like hockey people who I look to for, deeper insight at times than I have. And I was surprised to hear that from Jim. I don't agree with him. I think they're going to get it done. But I must say, when he said that, I was like, am I thinking of this wrong? Should I go from 88 down to 43? I don't know. Tell me, Robbie, what to do.
Well, look, I mean, I think there's always in negotiations like this, like we can talk about, and I think this gets overblown sometimes. Like everybody always talks about, well, does Forsberg want to be here or does he not want to be here? Does player X want to be there or do they not? Well, it's never really as simple as that. Like, I'm sure that Philip Forsberg wants to be here, but if the offer is not close, he's not going to be here. Like, he's not just going to take any deal. And I think sometimes that gets lost in this discussion. So, like, until it's signed on the dotted line, like, there's always room for skepticism. That's like you know, when Jared says that he's 100% and then yesterday moved to 101%, like, I just think that's ridiculous because he's not signed the contract yet. So how could you be at 100%. But like, I would still say the totality of this week leaves me more encouraged that he's going to sign here. It just does. Like, I always have thought that he will sign here, but you know, you went from 54% to 88% yesterday or whatever it was. I'm probably still, I mean, I've moved up from 50. I'm probably in the high 60s at this point, but you know, I have seen negotiations before that don't look like they'll ever get done. And I've seen negotiations before in professional sports where you feel like it's a formality that it's going to get done at some point that never work out. Like, you know, we talked about Freddie Freeman yesterday, right? Like, you all season last year, I was like, well, there's no way that Freddie Freeman is going to leave the Braves ever. Like, it's just not going to happen. And then here we are. He's a member of the LA Dodgers. Now, he may still think that he's on the Braves based on some of the comments that he's made. But like, I say all that to say, you never fully know. Like, anything can happen. So like, I totally understand a Predators fan sitting here on June 29th and looking around and saying, all right, you're 2 weeks away from free agency. Like, you've got 2 weeks to figure this out. And there's no indication anywhere that you're close. Like, that would be pretty concerning to me. I just still believe at the end of the day, David Poile is going to have to do this. Like, he knows what the blowback is going to be if he doesn't get it done.
Yes. And, you know, saying 100 is hyperbolic because you don't know. There's two things. Well, yeah, there's two things from the Forsberg side that I don't know for sure. I think he wants to be here. I think we'd all agree on that. But I don't know for sure that he's wanting to be here no matter what.
I mean, yeah, like, I don't think that that's the case.
Right. So, but listen, if you're 100, I think you must think that's the case, that basically you're just like, yeah, I'll take it to the end and he'll come to where we are and, you know, then it'll be done. But I'm definitely, in my mind, I'm here. I don't know that that's the case. I don't know that Forsberg doesn't find some intrigue in some other possible destinations. I don't know how much that might be tied to his own doubts about how competitive the Preds are going to be in the next few years. I don't know those things, but I think you have to allow some possibility for that. The other thing that made me question this is just whether he was asking for absolutely ridiculous amounts of money because he thought he could, or maybe he has an idea, an inkling of a team out there that was going to pay him ridiculous amounts of money as a free agent. So that's where my confidence went up with the Saravalli report. But, of course, Jared had a source yesterday, gave him some information that that's not true, and also that the no movement clause is not a thing. So the second part of that, if that's true, like they have that figured out, then that to me is – that's significant.
Sure.
Also that, you know, the it's not true. They still don't have a – we don't know the range. I mean, if Saravalli was speaking out of turn there or J.P. Barry was putting information out that's inaccurate there or whatever the case may be, then, well, I guess really you could say – I guess my confidence level should probably go down a little bit from there, right?
Yeah. I mean, look, the other part of this that's intriguing to me, because I've heard Jared and Caroline talking about this too, like the idea – and I don't necessarily disagree with this part of it. Like, you know, walking away from talking with Herb Fritch last week, David Poile, I think pretty clearly is on solid ground with the ownership group. Like, I think some of the fan base feels a certain way about David Poile that I'm just not sure reflects in ownership. Like, they're very confident in David Poile. So basically, like, Jared's point has been, well, what is the consequence for David Poile if Philip Forsberg doesn't sign? Like, in other words, like, how motivated is David Poile really to come to the other side of the table for Forsberg, given the fact that in Jared's mind, like, there's not going to be a consequence if he doesn't get the deal done. Like, fans are going to be really mad, but it's not like David Poile is going to lose his job if Philip Forsberg doesn't sign. My counterargument to that is, like, it's pretty clear that David Poile wants to win a Stanley Cup before he's done being the general manager of a hockey team. And yeah, you can't convince me that losing Philip Forsberg, regardless of what else you do outside of maybe signing Johnny Gaudreau, which I just think is a pipe dream for the Predators, like, you can't convince me that that is a good model of getting you to a Stanley Cup one day, just losing out on Philip Forsberg. Like, I guess you could just totally go in the tank, but I don't think David Poile or the Predators ownership have any interest in doing that whatsoever.
Well, I agree. And beyond that, I mean, Jared and I argued yesterday on the point of Poile. Look, I agree that Herb Fritch's comments kind of confirmed really what we all assume, but it's good to get the ownership group actually speaking. Took a pretty significant news event for that to happen. But I agree that that was an expression of confidence, and also in, I'm a healthcare guy, he's a hockey guy, you know, all that stuff. Right. But my argument to that is, okay, fine, I agree. Like, if Poile loses Forsberg, there's not going to be some immediate firing. But if it starts to show itself in performance and you get zero postseason revenue the next year, and then there's really no disputing that you're going backward, I did not take Herb Fritch's comments as there's zero scenario where David Poile would be in trouble. I think you're making a big leap there. And to your point, is Poile still doing this job just because he wants to like keep the job and not get fired? No, he's doing this because he's chasing something that he doesn't have, that he's spent his entire career chasing. He cares about legacy just like most people, and he cares about that achievement. And so it is a huge deal to him, whether he's quote unquote safe or not. It's a huge deal to achieve that. That way outweighs job security as a motivation.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. More of your thoughts on Philip Forsberg coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game.